when pastor's away, I kind of do everything backwards. That's just to see if you're paying attention. If you don't laugh, then you're not paying attention. Okay. All right. So my message tonight, I'm not going to tell you the name of it yet, but I just want to have us to reflect and to remember who we are. We've become, and I don't mean this church, but I mean across Christianity, especially Baptists, it seems that we've become complacent. Complacent means satisfied, pleased, kind of relaxed. And pastor preaches against that, whether directly or indirectly. We've just become too relaxed. And I find, and I need to hear this as much as anybody else, but we need to be reminded of who we are, and what we are, and where we are. And my message tonight, that it's one word, and it's realize. Realize who we are, and what we are, and where we are. And my my Bible verse is from Exodus. I'm going to read it to you. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 2. This is Moses. I'll start right in the beginning, in case anyone's not familiar with this. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, and why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. That's the end. God spoke to Moses out of that burning bush. You know, it's easy for God to break the law of thermodynamics. That bush should have been consumed, but it wasn't. And Moses saw it. You know, God does things like that to get our attention. Otherwise, we just kind of miss what he has for us. And if you want to miss what God has for you, you need to not be here. You're guaranteed to miss it. Because God will speak to you just like God spoke to Moses when you're here. And this is what, you know, God invented the church as we know it, the New Testament church. God invented marriage. And his inventions are perfect. And God said to Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Now, if Moses is there on this mountaintop and God is speaking to him and he's standing there, and God said, this is holy ground. It's holy because God is there. And today, our holy ground is right here. You're standing on holy ground. God speaks to us through the reading of God's holy words, and he speaks to us by the preaching of those holy words. And Jesus said that wherever two or more are gathered in my name, he said, I'm there in the midst of them. And I think there's more than two here tonight. And Jesus is here tonight. And this is holy ground. But we've become so complacent that we miss it. We miss the fact of who we are and where we are and what we are. We need to realize that. You know, there's 168 hours in a week. That fascinates me. I figured it out one day and I just keep repeating it all the time. When you think about it, if you come to church three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday, and you spend an hour listening to preaching, I'm not talking about any, just glorifying God and preaching, it's 3 hours a week. That works out to be 2% of that 168 hours. That's how much time that we spend on holy ground. And it seems like such a minute amount of time. We spend 56 hours a week sleeping. If we work an 8-hour day, we work 40 hours. And there's 69 hours left over. And you know what you do with the remaining 69 hours. I don't know what it is, but God's getting three. Moses saw that burning bush. It caught his attention. And today, if we had that situation, there would be a... if God did it today, he'd have to get a permit from the EPA, and there'd have to be a fire extinguisher there. And the reason I'm not just saying that to be funny. I'm saying that God makes things very simple, and man makes things very complicated. And we need to remember that God shows us, he speaks to us, and it may not be a burning bush, but it could be something else. Could be a burning car or a burning house. I don't know what, but God speaks to us, and he gets our attention, and he wants our attention. And I'm here to tell you tonight that this is holy ground, because Jesus is here and we are here. And if we were not here and Jesus were not here, it would not be holy ground. You know, we call this, we say we're going to church. And church does not have to be in a building. When I grew up in a Catholic church, a church was, we thought it was the building. That's what we're going to, the church. But of course now, I know, and you know, that it's not the church. We are the church. The people is the church. We could be meeting tonight out in the field. Thankfully, we're not. And that would be holy ground. We need not to forget that. We have God's holy words. We have his holy promises, and we are on holy ground. Holy has become ordinary. Holy hasn't become special. It wasn't that long ago. when I was a little kid that that's supposed to be funny. that holiness. I used to hear this all the time, I guess from my mom. Cleanliness is next to godliness, and the word holy was used more than it is today. And I think people were more aware of it then. See, today, commercialization of holidays, which were originally holy days, and they're not very holy today. I was in the grocery store in November, and I saw all these Christmas decorations, and it wasn't even Thanksgiving. I thought I missed Thanksgiving. I was there for food for Thanksgiving, but all the Christmas decorations were there. I remember when we started decorating 2 weeks before Christmas, and the stores start putting out presents and things that people could buy 2 weeks before Christmas. But now it's become an industry. It's commercialized. Jesus said, "This is a house of prayer, and you," speaking to the money changers, "have made it a den of thieves." When I grew up in the Catholic Church, we had bingo, we had our bazaar, which was bizarre when I think of it, and we had a big six where you could gamble, you could drink beer. This was in the church building in the lower level. And I was just a little kid, and I remember thinking to myself that this isn't right. There's something that's not right. I was just a little kid. Nobody had ever told me that it was right or it was wrong. But I just had that inclination. I've seen church services that looked like a nightclub. It was not holy. It didn't resemble holiness. There was nothing about it that was holy. And I'm saying this for us to realize who we are and where we are. We are in an independent fundamental Baptist church, and we know that the Spirit of God is here, and we know where we are. And I know I've said this, and Pastor repeats it all the time, that I have said this is the closest thing to heaven on earth, is an independent fundamental Baptist church, New Testament Baptist church. It is, because we all know where we're going. If you're saved here tonight, we know where we're going. We know what we were like before. We know what God did for us, how he changed our lives. And I'm sure that was not original, because the one thing I found out is that whatever I think was original, somebody already did it 50 years ago. But it still is a fact that it is the closest thing to heaven on earth. And you don't have to travel around the world to find it. It's right here. And God made it that way. That's why he made the church. And that's why he saved us. And that's why we're here tonight. But don't forget that we're standing on holy ground. This is a place where we meet with God. And Jesus said that this is a house of prayer. There are churches, they have what they call a prayer meeting, but they don't pray. Or the emphasis isn't on prayer. And we're here to pray, to ask God, because we know God answers our prayers. When I went to church when I was a little kid, we went out of habit or out of the requirement that you had to be there. It wasn't that we wanted to. Well, you did. I wanted to, because I always wanted to know about God, but nobody ever told me. These kids that are over here tonight, the young ones, they've heard the gospel when I should have heard the gospel. But it was 30 years old. I'm not complaining, God. I got saved when I was 30 years old. But boy, I wish I could have gotten saved when I was 15. But nobody gave me the gospel, which is why we need to give the gospel. Anything that distracts you from worship or preaching, God speaking to you, is not holy. We're standing on holy ground. We need to be here. We need to be a part. We need to be the church, all of us. Because God is here. And he doesn't just want us 3 hours a week, 3 hours out of the week. He wants us 168 hours a week. If you don't realize a holy place, how will you realize a holy God? If you don't realize that this is holy ground, how are you going to realize that we have a holy God? How is it going to become real to you and to me? As it says in the Bible, I remember the old temple. When they were referring to the old temple and versus the new temple that was rebuilt, and it was nothing like the old temple. And our worship today is, it's not like the old temple. And we can make it like the old temple if we realize that we're on holy ground and God has made us holy and that he is holy. But we've got to remember that. And it's got to be real in our lives. Otherwise, we become too complacent. We are the children of God. We're owned by God. We are to serve God. And we are to obey God. And to realize what we have. We're on our way to heaven. I can't have a bad day. I really can't, because all I have to think about is where I'm going. And there's nothing that can make me more relaxed than knowing that I'm going to heaven. And that God is sanctifying me before I get there, or on the way there. We have to realize what we have. We need to realize how special we are. The Israelites, they never realized who they were. They never realized that God, as powerful as all the things that he did in their sight, they lost sight of God. And all they did is murmur and complain. All I want to do, and all you should want to do, is to give God a reason to bless you, a reason to answer your prayers. And one of the ways is to realize who you are and where you are, and to realize this is holy ground. And we need to come here and be on this holy ground and receive the blessings of God by being here. For revival to take place, we must realize and respect this holy ground. I believe that we are so close to revival I just want to live long enough to be able to see it. But it's going to happen. Because we've asked God. We've asked a holy God for revival. And I believe God's going to give it to us in His time. So what do you do? What do you do to realize? The first thing you need to do to realize is to show up. I never forgot that message that Brother Bob preached. You need to show up, work hard, live right, and God will take care of the rest. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about your so-called, our so-called problems, because God will take care of them. You just put God first. And if you're going to put Him first, you need to be here first. You need to show up and to be consistent. I just missed a Sunday evening service. I don't know, maybe a month ago. I just got sick. I got this pain. And I couldn't come. And it's one of the first times that I ever remember that I couldn't be here. But it was a physical thing, and I just wanted to be here. If I could have walked, I would have been here. Because I know that when I'm not here, I'm going to miss something. And you could miss the one thing that God wants you to know, and you miss it. God wants us to know that this is holy ground, and we need to show up, and we need to be here. And we need to work hard at it. And we need to live right. And God will take care of all the rest. And God said to Moses, He said, Moses, Moses. He said his name twice. It was serious. It was, how you doing, Moses? When God repeats a person's name, it's important. There's a reason for it. And there's a reason why we need to be here. And there's a reason why we need to realize what God has given us. You know, I've done work. I've designed buildings, houses, for some people that I knew really well. And I did them, and this doesn't apply to everybody by any means, but I remember this one person. And when I did the work, I never planned. I didn't want to be paid for it. I didn't plan that way. I did it. But you know, it never really meant anything to that person, because it never cost them something. And I found out that I can read when a person has to work for something and has to make an effort, it means more. And that's why I think God certainly gives us trials, is that we appreciate God's love when He takes us through those trials. But we need to realize that. When we come here, we're never disappointed with a message. And I'm not speaking for myself. But when Pastor preaches, we get spiritual food. And God tells him what He wants him to preach. Now, does he audibly do it? No, I don't believe so. It doesn't for me. But all I do is ask God, show me what you want me to say. And I go to sleep and wake up in the morning and it's there. It's there. God put it in my mind. It's already there. This is holy ground. Not because I'm standing on it, not because any of us are standing on it, but because God is here and His Word is here and it's being preached and you're being fed on that holy, on the holy words of God. When I went to a Catholic church when I was a little kid, God was locked up in a little box up in the front of the church. And I could never figure that out. Why did they keep him in that little box? The point I'm making is that then, when I was experiencing that, I didn't have an understanding of God. And there was nothing there but tradition. And I wasn't getting fed. I was becoming malnourished on the Word of God. But today, we don't have an excuse. God has given us a holy ground. He's given us His holy Bible. And He's given us a pastor that preaches every word from that Bible. So we have no excuse. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any better anywhere else. I've been to a lot of churches. And the only one that I've ever heard that preaches like pastor preaches was Brother Hiles. And there are other pastors, I'm sure. But he just reminds me of him. He tells it exactly the way it needs to be told. And you won't hear it in most places. You will not hear what you hear in this church. And if God doesn't like it, He'll change it. But I'll tell you what, He's liked it for a long time, almost 50 years. And what I'm saying, not to repeat myself anymore, is that we're standing on holy ground. We need to realize it, and we need to live it, and we need to tell others about it, and we need to be here, and we need to put God first. And you can't put God first unless you're here on the first day of the week. You come here, this is like compare this to a smorgasbord. You know, you go to a smorgasbord, you have all this food, you can eat as much as you want. So, the food is here. All you have to do is eat it. You've got to take it in. You've got to receive God's word. Words. I love this church. And it's not the building, remember. It's all of us here. We are the church. There's nothing that I love more than teaching Sunday school. Cody told me tonight, Cody, can I tell them what you told me about preaching? Can I? Yes? Okay. Cody said, you preach for 1.5 hour. And he said, my dad preaches 1 hour. He said, and pastor preaches 2 hours. Maybe it seems like that. I don't know. I can't say any more about this that I haven't already said. All I can ask you to do is remember it. Remember that one word, realize. Realize who we are, what we are, and where we are. I think I wrote that down someplace. Yeah, right. Okay, we're Baptists. Yep, we're independent, fundamental Baptists. We're God's children. Yeah, remember that commercial? They used to say it's in there. It's in there. Where whatever it was, they said it's in there. It's in the can. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just thankful that you've saved us, Father, and you've put us in a church, Father, where we can be fed the spiritual food and we can be strengthened, and help us, Lord, to not forget it, but to remember it and remember that you changed our lives. You put the Holy Spirit in us. And Father, we just thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done, Father. In all these years that I've been here, 45 years or whatever it is, I can't even remember, but it's a long time, Father, and I've never seen you once forsake us. You've never left us. You've kept all your promises, and you're faithful, and you're holy, and you're just. And we just give you all the glory and honor and ask you to bless us this night, Father. In Jesus' holy name, amen.